going to kind of rip it on the podcast today. It is a solo cast here at the Just for Fun cast. If you're listening to this, first of all, why? Second of all, thank you for doing so. Really enjoyed watching the paper here, and I'm going to try to give you an honest reaction and my honest thoughts about it. It's not going to be one of these, like, you know, I love Greg Daniels and I love The Office and I was a fan of Parks and Rec, so this has to be good. And I'm also not going to be doing one of those, like, well, it's new, so it sucks because I don't like change and it's not exactly the same as the thing I remember. The truth is somewhere in between, and definitely more one way than the other, in my opinion. Again, watched the paper here once, and then kind of watched it over a second time. Not thoroughly. My thought was this. Watch it once. Really watch it closely. I watched it with Lulu, my wife, who she might want to jump on here when she gets home and talk about it on the podcast. So maybe stay tuned and hear from her. But we watched it, and then we watched every episode in order. Really watched it the way you do a television show you're interested in, trying to follow along, following the plot. And then I've kind of glossed over it a second time just to kind of remember, you know, like, what I thought I saw and the storylines and for clarity and things like that. Because, you know, when you watch something once, you don't, there's a lot of things you don't pick up. And I will say this, having watched it, you know, we'll call it one and a third times, Greg Daniels does like to put Easter eggs all throughout his shows. There's a lot of Easter eggs. And this episode, by the way, of the Just for Fun cast, it's not brought to you by anybody. This episode will contain spoilers. You thought I was going to say it's brought to you by something. It's not. It's brought to you from my brain to your ears, but it will contain spoilers for the paper. Not like heavy spoilers. We're not going to analyze it to death. I'm just going to go through the characters here and each episode. We probably won't grind the episodes to a pulp. We might just gloss over them, but we're going to talk characters and what happened to them and their storylines and where they're headed. And if I suppose, it's, here's a spoiler, but it's been renewed for season two. I think I talked about it in the last episode, so we'll see. You know, I want to talk about how the season kind of ended up and what that means for where they're going to be starting season two. I'm a little bit, we'll get to it, but I feel a little bit like maybe they weren't sure if this, it was one of those season ones where they weren't sure there's going to be a season two, so let's kind of wrap everything up in an open-ended way, if that makes sense. Like, let's make sure the characters all have some closure, but also, if this does get picked up, we want to be able to just continue on to season two. So, in some ways, I feel like that made the storylines a little bit less fulfilling, because they didn't have, they kind of looked at them as, we have to do this in 10 episodes, rather than we have 2, 3, 4 seasons to play with. But now that they do have more time, I wonder how that's going to change the way the season ended. And like I said, we'll get to that in a minute. But let's start by taking a look at the characters. And, you know, just general character thoughts. I'm going to walk you through it. If you haven't seen it, I'm glad you're listening to this, because you'll get a feel for where we're at and what the paper was all about. So let's talk about it. So the show itself kind of revolves around this guy, Ned Sampson, who is the new editor-in-chief of the Toledo Truth Teller. He's played by Domhnall Gleeson, who I wasn't very familiar with, but apparently he's a really well-renowned dramatic actor. I'm looking at his IMDb now. You know, I haven't seen too much of what he's been in, but I do recognize some of these titles as people say they're good movies, and I thought he was pretty good. I didn't know he was a dramatic actor until someone told me, so watching this, it didn't seem like he was a fish out of water. There's room for him to improve. You know, he's not Michael Scott. I don't think he needs to be. And I hate doing these comparisons, but is he season one Leslie Knope? I think he's a little bit funnier. I mean, yeah, that could be. But yeah, I mean, that's the idea, right? He's the centerpiece of this show that the documentary crew is following around and checking out. And that's the idea. He's kind of the Michael Scott, the Leslie Knope, the centerpiece. The documentary is not about him per se, but because of his position within the subject of the documentary, he gets the most screen time and is kind of by default, the de facto center and subject himself. And his whole thing is like this. He's like this Nepo baby who maybe isn't qualified for the job of editor-in-chief, but also, you know, kind of wants to stand on the side of righteousness and journalism, but also isn't all that experienced and doesn't know what that means necessarily in every situation. So I'll say this about Ned, you know, I didn't love him. When I'm watching the paper the first season, I'm not like thinking, oh my goodness, this guy's so funny. I can't wait to see what happens with Ned. He's more of like the center spoke on a wheel or the center of a Ferris wheel that everything is circling around, if that makes sense. You know, he's funny. I think he's good. I just, you know, I don't love the Nepo baby editor-in-chief thing. But then again, he's also very funny. A lot of the scenes that I think are the funniest, he was in them. Like in the first episode or second episode, the whole when Esmeralda sends out the email telling everybody that he was not Me Too'd at his previous job. I haven't laughed so hard. You know, the way he reacts with, why did you tell everybody I wasn't Me Too'd? And this whole thing, and she's explaining, I didn't want them to think you were, and you don't have to not something that isn't, and it's a great scene. You know, so I like him. I think he's a good character, and I'm looking forward to seeing where the character goes going forward. And the end of season one here with the romantic stuff, we'll see. I'm curious to see if they follow through with that. Obviously, I'm talking about what happened with Mare. And so Mare is the only real aspiring journalist on the team at the Toledo Truth Teller. You know, she's played by Chelsea Frey, I believe it is. And I really liked Mare. I thought she was a really nice character. She, to keep making, and I guess we'll be doing this, I can't help it, but to be making the Office comparison, she felt like in a bit of the Jim role in terms of she seems to live in reality. She seems to be aware of the world around her and how ridiculous this newspaper job is, and that her job, especially at the beginning, is not that exciting or important, but she's intrigued by the documentary crew's presence all of a sudden in her workspace. And she does a lot of the Jim Halpert style, looks to camera, the eye rolls. And I will say, I think she did it quite well. I like her in this role. I think Mare is going to be an interesting character going forward. She's definitely likable. The one thing I really didn't like was the episode where she had the personal axe to grind with the music teacher, the play and everything. And I understand a lot of the issues, but she just seemed a little petty and seemed a little bit like, that seemed too small for this character who's going to, she's clearly the number two right now in the show. Didn't love that storyline. But other than that, I think she's great. I think the character is, in terms of like, when you look at, okay, her whole thing is she wanted to be a journalist and got this shitty job at this dying newspaper and just realized like she's going to get a paycheck by, you know, copying and pasting articles for them from the AP Wire. And now all of a sudden this guy comes in and he wants to like make this a real newspaper and do real journalism and roll up our sleeves and get in there and do real stories and real digging. And I think for her character, she's the one that like that opens up the road ahead storyline wise the most, right? That opens up her future in terms of like, she's going to clearly, as they go on, she will be the one to probably break the big story or to find herself at the center of the scandal. She's going to be the pivot point of a lot of these stories, and there will be a lot of growth for her, right? Like in the same way we saw characters from The Office, like Jim, go from being kind of a dorky paper salesman to a serious guy to a co-manager to a whatever he was at the end, but like a respected adult with kids and a family and all that. I think Mare has similar, maybe she doesn't go that road. Maybe she wins an award and becomes some major mega journalist, or maybe, who knows? But I think the idea for the show is kind of written for her to go forward. She's the Dorothy here, right? And everyone else is the Tin Man, and they're all the co-stars, and they're all memorable. But she's the one that, if Ned is the Michael Scott, this is his world, but Mare's world is about to get much bigger, if that makes any sense. Ned's had the big world already. He's going to revive it and show her, you know, where she can go from here. And I think eventually, maybe, you know, she gets offered jobs at bigger papers, or there's a scandal within her own paper, not just that toilet mitten one from this season, which was pretty funny. But, you know, I think it's interesting. So anyway, I'll stop gushing about Mare. Maybe you liked her, maybe you didn't, but I thought it was a good character. Pretty well-rounded and interesting. So then we've got Sabrina Impacciatore, who plays Esmeralda Grand. And you can't compare her to anything on any of these shows. There's nobody. She takes up a lot of the screen when she's on it. There's a lot of comedy coming out of her. Barely a line of seriousness. I think she's hilarious. Can be a bit much, maybe, in a few episodes. But she is the type that's always, you know, her role on the show is she runs what is, she calls TTT Online, the Toledo Truth Teller Online. TTT Online, she always says. And she is the gossipy, clickbait, not terrible, but like, you know, there's no journalism, there's nothing there. She's not really, doesn't care about the craft. She just likes getting clicks on the website, and she's very much like a glamour magazine tabloid type of person. And so she and Ned clash. She wants to keep the paper the way it was. He's trying to bring it to a better place. And so, although I think they like each other personally, they clash and the office. And so Esmeralda is constantly wanting to grab the spotlight and be recognized for all the things that are happening that Ned is making happen. Esmeralda's trying to, she doesn't want to give up power, but she doesn't want to change anything. So she's trying to get credit for stuff that she's not doing. And it leads to a lot of very funny stuff. The award ceremony in the season finale, where she ends up on stage giving the speeches. She's great. And I think Sabrina Impacciatore, she was in White Lotus. If you've seen White Lotus, I haven't, but people say great things about her in that show and about that show altogether. So probably watch White Lotus, talk about it here on the podcast at some point. But so she is kind of the all comedy, all the time character, if that makes sense. Every time she's on the screen, we're going to have, you know, just chaos. And it's a little bit slapsticky. You know, she's the one I was saying before that she sent out an email to the whole office saying that the new guy was not Me Too'd at his last job. So can you imagine, like, your first day on the job and a mass email goes out saying, you know, so-and-so starting here today, and just to let you know, he was not Me Too'd at his last job. That's not why he's here now. Because it's that kind of chaos where she's so happy and bubbly about it, and she pretends like she's trying to help you, but she's trying to sink the ship as hard as she can. I think she's a great character. In terms of future, I don't know. I think she was a little one note in the first season in terms of just constant chaos. But maybe there's somewhere in there where we learn a little bit more about her vulnerable side. She mentions at one point very abruptly that she's a single mom. And very, like, out of nowhere. And I'm also a single mother. And it's so hard for me. You know, but she, so she, like, there's something going on. Life, she's covering up something, you know. So I could see that being down the road, what's going on with Esmeralda and some personal growth in her story there. You know, one of her great stories from the season is she was getting catfished and she couldn't admit it. So it was, I forget who the guy was, but, you know, it was like a major celebrity she thought she was dating. And it was, she's getting catfished and she's like sending the guy money as they're telling her she's getting catfished. And, you know, one of these people who just can't back down even in the face of hard facts and evidence. And that leads to good comedy. It really does. So I thought Esmeralda was a lot of fun. And hopefully they kind of develop her character a little bit more heading into season two, just for her sake. And that will help with some storylines and a little bit of opening up of the series. And when I say opening up of the series, I mean, like, you know, when you watch a show in its early years, it's usually set in one or two places. And I'll say The Paper got out a little bit more than other shows, but I think if they come back, they've been renewed, they have a little more budget, I could see this show really going places, literally having a lot of, as a newspaper, you don't spend as much time in the office. They're going to be out on the beat, you know, they're going to be out. So it won't feel so much like The Office where it's all set in one place. Although I do love that the newspaper is sharing a floor with the toilet paper people. I think that's a great little, like, that's what we think of you here in this big conglomerate. Yeah, Toledo Truth Teller, you're over there on the same floor as the people who make toilet paper. So they make that very clear from the very first scene of the show, I think, that they're not thought of very well over there at the paper. So I'd say those are, like, the big three main points of the show, those three characters. Although you might be able to say, and I might say, that Tim Key, this guy, he plays Ken Davies. He's a British guy. I've seen him on Taskmaster. If you've seen Taskmaster, he's hilarious. He's hilarious on Taskmaster, and he's also hilarious, I think, in this show. And as I think about him, he's kind of the comedy duo with Esmeralda. They're both trying to sink the paper, or at least keep it the way it was before Ned showed up. And a lot of comedy gold out of this guy. His whole thing is he presents himself as a very snooty and snobby European, British, better than everybody. But it turns out he's really not. And he's always like, he's the unwanted kind of, like, nobody wants him around. Nobody likes him, but he just causes trouble. But he thinks he's everybody's best friend. And there's just a lot of gold and really funny stuff with Ken. He's you know, he's also like the, you know, an antagonist to Ned. And just the, you know, the condescending British accent with the backbone of absolute jellyfish. It's really, really a good character. Pretty funny. I think a lot of comedy comes out of this guy. I know I keep saying that, but I'm trying to think in particular. It turns out, you know, he's been leeching off the company. They gave him a storage unit that turned out to be his apartment, and he's been living in that apartment and billing it as a storage unit for, it's not as funny as I say it, but when you watch it, it's good stuff. And there's something about that British accent that one of the best parts, I keep saying that around here, is he barges into Ned's office and he's like, "Are you an R word? Are you an R word?" And they get into this big thing about, you can't just say, "Are you an R word?" You can't just abbreviate it. And he's like, "Rascal, are you a rascal?" And I don't know why it strikes me as so funny, but even now, is to be like, "Are you an R word?" And then try to play it off like you're saying rascal. It's that kind of stuff. Just that little bit of socially awkward. It's good. He's funny. And the show does a nice job of sprinkling him in there to kind of season the more dry spots of the show. And, you know, the business, when shows, he's usually in, like, the business meeting end of things where it would just be a boring meeting, but he's in there causing trouble. He's lying about winning a dart tournament and getting mugged for his winnings when really he got a dart in his foot. That kind of stuff. Like, he's always exaggerating his greatness when in reality he's got nothing going on. And the last two that I want to talk about, and again, I'm just going off the cuff, so I don't want to grind this too fine and start getting too into the weeds. These are just my reactions and thoughts as I'm digesting season one here. But Nicole and Dietrich are played by Ramona Young and Melvin Gregg, and they are the on and off again couple already. I think that Dietrich, he's in sales. He's kind of like the slick talking, cool younger guy that has this huge crush on Nicole, who I also seem to have a huge crush on. I think she's a great character, very funny, very dry humor, and something about her I just think is so cute that I really enjoy watching her scenes. And I think she and Dietrich are probably destined to be that couple that is on again, off again for a while. But it was really funny. During one of the episodes, I said, like, to my wife, I said to Lulu, do you think we're going to be watching their wedding episode in 4 or 5 seasons? And then sure enough, they made a joke about it just shortly after, about asking her to marry him. And then, you know, they date a little bit and they're on and off, and she likes him. We find out that she said that he doesn't want to be together after he was chasing her. And so that's one thing I want to talk about with this show. I guess we'll be done with the character wrap-ups. There's a few more main characters, but let's, you know, it's Oscar, which we talked about. Oscar Nunez from The Office, which is really cool to see him, and he does a great job. Maybe we'll talk about Oscar again in a little bit, but let's talk about the relationship thing first here. Full disclosure on the podcast, I had a bit of an interruption from one of our recurring guests here, the 2-year-old Lily. She will be making future appearances, I'm sure, on the pod. But I am now picking this up where I left off about 18 hours later. So we were talking about Nicole and Dietrich. And this relationship to me, it just felt like it didn't need to happen yet. I think there was probably a lot of gold to be mined in Dietrich pursuing Nicole. I really enjoyed, you know, he made her that bird, that wooden bird or whatever. You could have seasons worth of Dietrich having awkward yet charming gifts for Nicole, and the will they, won't they. And this is where the show really does put that feeling of, we're not sure we're going to have a second season, and we're going to wrap these things up. Although at the end of the first season, you know, Nicole's upset that Dietrich is they're not dating, but it does seem like they're destined to be together. So perhaps that's a swerve they're going to write into season 2. But I think Dietrich alone, they're both characters that I think are quirky and awkward and funny, and probably would have been better served in the long run standing on their own first and then finding themselves again later. Like, maybe you make these allusions in season 1 that he's into her and she doesn't like him, and then in season 4 or 5 it turns out she's, you know, they've been secretly dating or she's had a crush on him. Just something, getting them together in episode 2 or 3 and then having it all kind of play out in 1 10-season arc, it felt a little bit too just unfulfilling, I suppose. But who knows? You know, these characters. The other thing is, we're talking about season 1 of what could be a long-running sitcom. And, like, you could look back and be like, oh, yeah, remember they tried that thing with Nicole and Dietrich, or they tried that thing with Ned and Esmeralda, whatever. Characters change. Stories evolve. So I'm not going to hold it against the show, but I didn't love that. I think they're both unique. I like Nicole quite a bit. I said that already earlier, I believe. But so, yeah, I don't know. If I'm wrong about that, if you like the relationship, let me know. But then that brings me to the Mayor and Ned, the end of season. So this is the big spoilers, if you're really, I don't know why this would concern you more than other things, but how they end the season kind of together, or at least finally, like, having that big impassioned kiss. And it just, this also didn't need to happen yet, and I am not a fan of, it makes Ned's character feel like a little bit too malleable. At first, you know, you think he's going to be this noble editor-in-chief who saves the newspaper, and then he kind of morphs into this bumbling fool, and now he's potentially entering a romantic relationship with his only really competent writer. This is, you know, Ned, it took a while before Michael and Jan got together, and This love story, I feel, could be, I just wonder in the long run, are they going to look back on season 1 and say, we wish we didn't push these characters together so quickly? You know, maybe I'm wrong, but heading into season 2, that's the big plot line, right? Ned and Mayor are now together, and Nicole and Dietrich are not, and the paper's doing much better. They're winning awards, which was great. Season 1 episode finale, or season finale, was fantastic at the awards show. You know, I've always found, I don't know why, I think awards shows episodes are very funny across the board. Anytime you have episodes where individual characters get the microphone, they all get the floor, I'm thinking, obviously, the Dundies. But there any show where something else is in my mind sticking, but I can't think of it right now, where there's, you know, great scenes up on the stage with the chaos of people wanting to either not speak or to speak or to win the award or to take credit. Or it's just, I think it makes for funny situations. And I would say I thought the season finale was one of the funnier episodes of season one. And again, we're going to look back and there's going to be articles, you know, ranking all 130 episodes of the paper, and this will be the worst, right? I'm saying it's a good one. So of course everyone else is going to say, they're going to say like, this is terrible. It was garbage TV. You can't watch the first season. It's unwatchable. And that might be true in the long run, but you know, it's a first season, so you can't really hold that against it. How many shows come out season one firing on all cylinders? You know, the first thing that comes to mind to me is The Wire. I think The Wire came out great in season one. But I think The Paper struggles a little bit, honestly, from already having fully developed characters, where in a lot of shows, they have time to grow over the course of the show. These characters feel kind of fully built, ready to go from day one, which in theory sounds great, but it's a lot of the building of the characters is where the fun comes in, you know? So I just, little things like that throughout the show. I'm trying to think of other characters that, I haven't mentioned Barry yet. I really liked Barry. He's, you know, the one line guy. I hate to say it. I really don't want to say it, but we're all thinking it, right? That like, this is a Stanley carbon copy, knockoff, grumpy, disengaged, older black man that just doesn't really care about what's going on around him. But I will say Barry's pretty funny. I really like the one scene where all the high school kids were in the newspaper office, and he's like, this is Barry. He's written over 70 articles, and he looks, and it's this like group of high school kids, super diverse, super, you know, different age, whatever. And he goes, is this your family? And he's so out of it that he's just, is this your family? It's good. I thought Barry, you know, a little bit one note, but one of those characters that did get a lot of actual laugh out louds out of me. So The Paper season one, I feel like there is a lot of good stuff in there as well. And I'm going to go back and watch it again, a full rewatch, like each episode, and dive in and look for more of the Easter egg type stuff that we know Greg Daniels has sprinkled in there. He loves to do that and kind of take a deeper look at these stories and these characters. But initial impressions, season one of The Paper, I'm going to give it, my first instinct is to give an incomplete, but then anytime someone on a podcast would give something an incomplete when they said they were going to give it a grade, I hate it. It really drives me nuts. So I'm going to go with a C+. I think it was good. There's room to grow. It definitely wasn't a failure, and it definitely wasn't an A+, you know? So I think this is a show, keep on the radar, watch the first 10, give it time to grow. I'm sure they're going to come back in season two with a little more, you know, a little bit sharper edges and a little bit more of a feeling of takeoff. You know, my big thing is I'm not sure they're going to love the place they left themselves at the end of season one in terms of these character relationships. I feel like if I was in that writing room, I would rather, if I knew we had four seasons, you wouldn't have done this so quickly and gotten people so entangled with each other so early in the show. That's my big takeaway. But the comedy is good. The comedy hits, you know, they really do a nice job of varying it. There's a bit of slapstick. There's some raunchy stuff. There's a little bit of profanity, but not too much, you know. They do a great job giving just enough little nods back to The Office without making it feel like they're relying on The Office as a crutch. But I think they're also leaving the door open to characters from that world popping in or out. And the key when you do something like that, I think, is to not overdo it and to not make it a jump the shark type of thing where you're struggling and you hear, hey, did you hear Jenna Fisher's making an appearance? Angela and Pam are coming from Scranton to visit Oscar because blah, 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 blah. if you have to rely on that to get that pop, that's a cheap pop, as they'd say in wrestling, where, you know, you just, you hit that music, you give people nostalgia, but then what you put in the ring or you put on camera isn't that great. That's no good. But what they could do is sprinkle these characters in with a little feeling of this universe has expanded, but they're still there. And I could see some of these bit players from The Office at least making, you know, being referenced and making, like, not on-screen cameos, but cameos in terms of references. So, yeah, I guess that's it. I guess the Papers season one, I wasn't underwhelmed. I wasn't overwhelmed. It's not my favorite show. It's not garbage. Check it out. I think there's a chance in a few years we're talking about it like it's hilarious and they've done a good job. Just round out the curve, you know, the edges. And I just said sharper edges. Now I'm saying round them out. But you know what I mean. I think Ned needs a little bit of work. I think the character relationships need a little bit of maintenance. But other than that, I had fun watching it. I hope you do too. And if you ever want to come on the podcast, talk about something that you have in your life that gives you joy, and you want to talk about it just for fun, please reach out at justforfuncast@gmail.com. Or if you still have the F1 Funcast email, you can email me at f1funcast@gmail.com. We're relaunching the F1 podcast here in a bit. And other than that, and just hope everyone out there has fun, stays safe, and enjoys the rest of their day. Take care, everybody. Thanks for listening.